At this time, I want to turn to the scripture reading. It comes from the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. If you could turn to it and rise for God's the reading of God's word. Again, it's 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. This time, welcome Pastor Wilson again.
Years ago, when I was in college, I remember that I saw a picture in National Geographic magazine. But because the time was before the digital revolution, so I couldn't find it online, but I found something similar online, which is a man spraying something on a piece of lawn. Now you can see that. I don't know whether you can see the color. You know, for those of us who own a lawn, wouldn't you want something like that? You don't have to water your lawn. You don't have to care about that. You don't have to fertilize it. And then when it's turned brown, you can't get someone come in and spray the green color on it. Now the problem is, if your lawn is like that, the grass has no life in it. If your lawn is like that, the grass has no life in it. Even though it looks green all year round, but there's no life in that lawn. Now I suspect, including myself, sometimes our life has turned into such a situation that we've been spray praying on the surface, but deep inside, we are withered. We are in bone dry condition. So let's bow our head and pray together before we study God's word this morning. Father, it is by your grace that we can enter this sanctuary this morning to approach your throne. That grace has been clearly presented before us as the table, the elements of the communion, the bread and the cup, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the blood He shed for each one of us, so that we can earn this privilege. Actually, we did not earn that. It is given to us for free. So, Father, it is our profound gratefulness and worship that we come to approach you. And you spend all this effort, not sparing your Son Jesus Christ for us, in order to turn our lives around. Not only that we can be called your children, but also we can live a life that will grow into the likeness of your Son, that will reflect the glory. So this morning, when we study the word from Apostle John, may your Spirit be with us like that in 2,000 years ago, your Spirit was with him and with his church, to convict us, to speak to our hearts, and give us the power that we are willing to submit to you, and therefore you can transform our lives. We pray all these in your precious Son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A spray paint lawn. Isn't that sometimes a reflection of our own life? Now this morning I want to take you into the second message of the First John. Remember last week we talked about First John is a letter that Apostle John wrote to his church. A very small church, an insignificant church, it never makes its mark in church history. But yet, the issue that they struggle, the issue that they were facing, were very, very similar to us today. Internal problem, conflict. When we walk with each other, when we have fellowship with each other, we have conflict. Conflict arises in our spiritual life. Conflict arises in our family life. Not only conflict, but also we see people in the church that through their profession, they are Christian, but yet the lifestyle does not reflect the glory of the gospel. And some people even uphold their own personal experience with God on the expense of the teaching of the gospel. These are the questions, these are the challenges that Apostle John's church faced 2,000 years ago. We still face it today. And also, from without the church, the culture, the persecution from the Roman government, the hostility that the general culture, general public has against Christians, that we are seeing that more and more these days. And these are the questions that we wrestle with. And that's why we want to study the first epistle of John. Now today we go into the second part, the second message, that John tried to lay out an answer, a remedy for all these challenges, for all these difficulties that we face. And his first answer is, God is light. God is light. In today's chapter 1, verse 6, verse 5, he declared, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. By declaring that, John announced there's a twofold answer. The first one is, God is light. The second one is in verse 11 of chapter 3, which we see the same marker. This is the message that we heard, the same marker. And in that one, he's implying God is love. So God is light and God is love is John's answer, going back to who Christ is, who God is, to answer those questions, to answer those challenges. And in today, I would like to share with you a message entitled, Walking in the Light of God. What does it mean by walking in the light of God? How would it look like when we walk in the light of God? And in today's scripture, if you have your Bible, I invite you to open to that page, because there is a structure hidden in this passage. There are six ifs in this structure. These six ifs, they pair up with each other, two together as one pair. So in other words, six ifs, there is three pairs of ifs, three pairs of if clause in this structure. The first pair happened in verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, John said, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, rely and do not live by the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. This is the first pair of ifs. And the pair of ifs, John structured in this way, the first one is a negative statement. The second one is the good news. So he presents us three meanings of walking in the light of God. What does it mean by walking in the light of God? The first pair of ifs tells us that walking in the light of God means we will have genuine fellowship with God and with each other. We will have genuine fellowship with God and with each other. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purify us from all sin. Now, by declaring that God is light, John is telling us there's two meanings in that. First, he was referring to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, from Moses' time, God revealed himself in fire, radiating light and heat. And in the wilderness, when God delivers people from the grip of Egypt, they were walking, but what was guiding them? At night, it was pillar of fire. And when God revealed the blueprint of the tabernacle, He revealed Himself, His presence, signified by fire and the gold lampstand, the golden lampstand. These are the things that God revealed Himself. And in Psalm, the psalmist also said that God, you wrap yourself in light as garment. So throughout in Old Testament, God is light, is a very clear motive that has been communicated to His people. When John said that, it brings the memory of His people back to the Old Testament. Not only referring back to the Old Testament, but John also using the metaphor light to talk, to respond to the culture that they were in. In John's time, there's a culture, there's a branch of Greek philosophy called Gnosticism, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. It's coming from the Greek word ginos. Ginos means know. This group of philosophers, they popularized the belief by saying that in this universe, there's two opposing forces. One force is spiritual, that is non-material. The other one is material, bodily. And they are at odds with each other. And the higher value is on the invisible, on the non-material, on the spiritual part. And the lower value is on the body part, on the material side. So therefore, in order to promote, in order to let the spiritual, the most valuable come out, we have to denounce that. We have to put down on our human body, on the material world. Now this philosophy was so popular in John's time that a lot of people take that, believe that, and also it get into the church teaching. And therefore, they antagonize these two realms, the invisible and the visible, the spiritual and the material. And it came into an implication that people would say that, okay, the material world is not important. So my body, all these things is not important. The most important thing is to be spiritual, to pursue after the invisible. And therefore, whatever I do with my body, it doesn't matter. So it produced two extreme practices. One is, let me indulge myself in sinful activities. Further corrupt my body, further corrupt the material world, so that the non-material, the spiritual one, will come up. Another extreme is, I do harm to my body. I inflict pain and suffering, so that the non-material, the spiritual, can be set free. Now, these extreme has happened in church history, throughout human history. But John said, not so. God is light. He's referring to that. The problem of that kind of belief, even though today we do not have this kind of philosophy, but the mindset behind the philosophy, we still experience that. Because in that kind of philosophy, it says there's certain part in our life, the non-material part, the invisible part, is good. The other part is not good, implying that God can only work on the good part, and God does not present in the bad part, in the material part, in the visible part. Now, I call that a compartmentalized view of life. As if our life can be separated into different rooms, different compartments, that they do not have any relationship with each other. Now, when we compartmentalize our lives, we see in our modern society, we are in this kind of culture. How many times you heard that, you know, in the election year? How many times you heard that people saying that we vote, we elect a politician, a leader, based on his capacity, based on his ability, and his whatever he do in his private life, nothing to do with that. His moral standard, those things, nothing to do with that. We want to elect the most capable person. Heard about that? heard about that invocation? That is happening in our culture, in our society. That is a compartmentalized view of life. As if one part of things happen in our life has absolutely nothing to do with the other part. And we live in a culture that increasing in the schizophrenia trend of life. We could be different person in different settings. We could apply different values in different occasions. And oftentimes those values might be at odds with each other. That is the problem that John's church was facing. And I think that is the same problem that we face today. That we live so comfortable in such a culture that compartmentalize our life, compartmentalize different aspects of life, our lives. So when you go to your company, you expect to have a set of behavior and values. When you leave the company, you go to another setting, your family, or come to the church, you have another one. It is like the spray paint lawn that you just see. We worry about, we care most about how we appear in different situations. We care about our image, but we forget about the essence. We forget about the content. It is a compartmentalized view that John is exactly addressing. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. The first if is a negative statement. The first if is to point out the deception that we are in. But the good news is on the second if, in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. The good news is when we walk in the light, and God is light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with one another. When we have fellowship, then we realize the importance of forgiveness. That is why John mentioned the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. I think all of us can identify with that. The more you interact with each other, the more forgiveness is required. Whether you ask for forgiveness or you exercise forgiveness to others, you give forgiveness to others. The more we interact with each other, the more we need that. The more we know we need that, the more we know that we need to give other people that. Fellowship in Christ, small group in church, should be marked by this mark, forgiveness. Because we are all sinners. In any close interpersonal relationship, you experience that. My wife and I have been married for more than 20 years. And all these years, we can testify that we have a lot of conflicts. Many, many conflicts. The closer the relationship, the more the conflict is going to be. Personally, I do not believe statement people say, I've been married for 35 years, 50 years, and we never fight. I don't believe that. You know, you fight in a very different way. You fight when you're in private. You don't fight before your children. That I can see that. But we do have conflict. But what makes our relationship more intimate, more closer to each other, is in every conflict, we try our best to live according to what God wants us to live. And frankly speaking, it's coming down to one word, forgiveness. A lot of time I have to ask her for forgiveness. And sometimes I have to forgive her. But I think more times I ask for forgiveness. Because I always the one who wronged her. But you see, that is the key on a growing relationship. Without that, relationship cannot go deeper. Relationship would not be relevant. Relationship would not be genuine. And it's precisely that Jesus' blood cleanses us, purifies us. Therefore, we can forgive each other. Therefore, we have the courage to ask for forgiveness. God is light. In Him, no darkness. When we walk in light, we will have genuine fellowship with God and with each other. But by having genuine fellowship with each other and with God, we have to admit something, which brings us to the second pairs of ifs in verse 8 and 9. Verse 8, again, John starts with a negative statement. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. John is saying that some of them in their church, they said, we do not have sin. He claimed to be without sin. It's about a status. It's about a person's status. He say, I am not a sinner. He's denying that. It's another, the second deception that John is talking about, that deny that I am a sinner. Now, today we probably would not deny that I am a sinner. You probably would admit that I did something wrong. You know, I have my shortcoming, I'm not perfect. But sometimes we do not deny verbally, but in practice, we downplay the seriousness of sin. We downplay the seriousness of sin. We think that, you know, if I did something like that, it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, maybe we think this way. If I make a mistake somewhere, maybe I can compensate on the other area of my life. Maybe I can do better on other part so that I can compensate that mistake. It is a subtle way to downplay the seriousness of sin. Because what John implying was, our very nature is a sinner. You cannot deny that fact. There's absolutely nothing good in our life. But oftentimes we think, you know, I'm not good in this part. I'm not good in that part. Maybe I can compensate by doing better on the other part. And sometimes there's a lot of people why they've been have the drive, the urge to be successful, to drive themselves because they want to compensate another part of their life. And sometimes, sadly speaking, sometimes in church setting, we drive ourselves to pursue God, but we never deal with the darkness in our heart. And therefore, pursuing God, studying the Bible, knowing more, become a compensation to compensate the darkness that we don't want to face. And when we grow in that direction, it will show in your interpersonal relationship. It will show that you have a lot of internal conflict. It will show that you don't have the joy in your life. It will show that your life is a compartmentalized life. But God wants to deal with the darkness in our heart, not to shame us, but to set us free so that we can walk a journey, we can walk a path that is genuine, that is transparent, and that is consistent. And you don't have to worry about where, in what situation, what kind of mask should I wear. This might be particularly true for Asian culture, because Asian culture, we value how we look. I'm not talking about physical appearance. We worry about our image. We worry about how people look at us. I grew up in that culture. A lot of us grew up in that kind of culture. Face. We got to save face. But God wants us not to save face, but He wants us to have a face that is consistent with who we are inside. A transparent lifestyle. a genuine lifestyle, a truthful lifestyle that can reflect His glory. And John said, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, we are lying, we are kidding ourselves. And the truth is no longer in us. But the good news is, He said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He said, God is faithful and just. Very interesting. He didn't say God is love, but He said God is faithful and just. Because God is faithful and God is just. God is just means in Him there's no darkness. And He cannot tolerate sin. When there's sin, He has to deal with that. And He has to punish sin. That is the just character of God. But He also is faithful. So it is out of His own faithfulness that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, become atonement sacrifice, so that you and I will be set free, so that we can be declared just, because Jesus' righteousness become ours. We are sinners. We are in need of God's mercy. There was a zookeeper. Once he held a class to teach a group of people that they want to adopt raccoon as pet. Now, I don't know why in the world people will adopt raccoon as pets, but some do, you know, and I saw some of those reports. And this zookeeper saying that raccoon in about 24 months in this life, you know, it goes through a dramatic phase of development. And in that development, any raccoon, however gentle it is, it will become violent. And as a pet owner, you got to know about that, and you be careful about that. At that period of time, you better lock it up in a cage, or you think about, you know, sending it somewhere else. But in that workshop, one of the women who pet a raccoon, and he said, you know, yeah, I see that, but not mine. I love my raccoon so much, and my raccoon loves me so much. But you know, in a couple of months, this woman was admitted to ER, and then in the next couple of weeks, she went through extensive plastic surgery because the raccoon really did get crazy at that stage, and he tear her face. The raccoon tear her face. It's a true story. It's a true story. I saw it in a news report. That is the nature of a raccoon. And sometimes I think that's the nature of myself. By nature, we are sinners. We have to admit that. And we need transformation grace in our life. The experience that you experienced God 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, would not carry you all the way to the end of your life. I need the refreshing grace every day from Christ in order to transform my sinful nature. Because that is my nature. We are sinners. That is what we're capable of. And we are in need of God's grace. So to walk in the light of God means we have to recognize that our sinful nature. And therefore, we recognize that we depend upon Christ's atonement sacrifice to cover our sins. That brings us to the third pair of ifs. In verse 10, John said, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Walking in the light of God means not only we have fellowship with one another and with God, we also recognize our sinful nature, but also it means that we depend on Jesus Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross to cover our sins. John started out with a negative statement: if we claim we do not, we have not sinned. Now it's about a specific action. Some people say, I don't sin. A specific action. We make him out to be a liar. Now this time it's not just deception about ourselves, but also deception saying that God is liar. God is a liar. When we say that we do not sin, we're actually saying that God is a liar. We make him to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. His truth, his word, is no longer in our life. Our life doesn't possess God's word. And John said, if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ. The one who speaks to the Father in our defense actually can be translated into one word: advocate, a lawyer. Jesus become our lawyer in the court of the universe. When God judge the sinner, Jesus become our lawyer. How could he become our lawyer? Because he has the same kind of righteousness as God's. His righteousness is identical with God. Therefore, he can enter God's presence on our behalf. He can enter God's presence on our behalf and plead our case before God. The righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Atoning sacrifice is through his death on the cross that you and I are redeemed. We've been purchased back by a dear price that Jesus paid on the cross to satisfy the Father's righteousness. There's a pastor named Jeffrey Ebert. I think his church is a little bit north of us in New Providence. And I saw his story. He said when he was 5 years old, that was before the time that vehicle has factory installed airbags and all these safe devices, and not even seat belts. And he said when he was 5 years old, one day he was riding on a car with his mom. And all of a sudden, a truck slammed into that car. And this big loud noise, and the windshield shattered, and he heard all these glass shattered around them. And he was confused. He was trembling in fear. But when he opened his eyes, he found out that he was all covered in blood. Wow, he was panicking. A five-year-old boy. But later on, he found out that the blood was not his. He did not have any scratch. It's at that fateful moment, his mother, out of the mother's respond instinct, hoof over him and cover him. And it's the blood of his mother that covered him. His mother survived that accident, but went through a long period of different surgery to reconstruct and to heal. But he said he never forget that incident. That incident became a point for him to understand what does it mean by covered by the blood. Someone in place of me. Therefore, I can escape that horrible accident without harm. There was a father driving down the highway with his son sitting at the back, and all of a sudden, a bumblebee got into the car. Did you have similar experience? A wasp or a bee? This bumblebee got into the car. But the problem is the son is allergic to bee sting. If the son been stung by the bee, he probably have an allergic reaction and die. So at that moment, the father stretched out his hand and grabbed that bee and fumble with that a little bit and let go of that. When he let go of that, the son at the back saying, "Daddy, Daddy, the bumblebee, the bumblebee." And Daddy said, "Son, don't worry. Look at my palm. The bee sting stuck on my palm. I take away the sting." My dear brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus did to us. Walking in the light of God, so that we can have genuine fellowship with one another, we admit that our sinful nature is there, and we are in need of the atonement grace from Jesus Christ. Let's bow our head and have a moment of prayer.